Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Brace yourselves for unknowable horror, because the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program has returned. Yes, Nerdy Show's beloved RPG audio drama of black comedy and Lovecraftian horror is back with an all-new series, a chilling tale called The Terrible Secret of Lot X. Head to CthulhuMystery.com or find the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program wherever you procure fine podcasts. Succumb to the maddening call of Cthulhu.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
I don't know what that was.
It's like Halloween scat. It's like if the scat man... It's
like... killing me!
If the scat man, who I assume is dead by now, came back to life, that's
scat
what it would sound like.
If you ever see a VHS tape marked Halloween scat, don't watch it.
Scoop-a-da-boo, scoop-a-da-ba!
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a geeky podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
Good night, everybody.
And
Brandon.
Fiend.
So we've you know, spent the past couple weeks doing things, absorbing popular culture.
Getting high on death sticks.
We've been smoking all the death sticks up
Want
in this
some
bitch.
Death sticks.
and so now we're going to unleash our very souls into these microphones.
Well, I haven't done anything. I've got nothing to unleash.
Oh, Brandon, you have a beast to unleash.
What?
I am certain of it.
Okay.
Deep. I mean,
I believe in your belief in me then.
Yay! Yeah. All right.
I wonder what this could be.
Me too, but we'll find out together. This Halloween season has been resplendent with terrifying programming, some of which we've contributed to, and others, and most of which, in fact, has been thanks to Netflix. I know for certain in this episode we're going to be recounting some of the shit we've been watching and telling you whether or not it's worth your time. But other than that, we'll be regaling you with whatever nonsense comes out the back of our skulls, because apparently chicks dig that. And by chicks, I mean baby chickens. So what I want you to do is I want you to download all of our episode log. There's not a word for like discography, but for podcasts. No one's come up with that word yet.
Discography.
Podography.
Speaking of chicks, I don't know who this pertains to, but somebody
baby
out
chickens.
There.
They need to
somebody
be
out there. Yes. Yeah. Incubate. Properly, make sure to go out and rotate your eggs. I don't know who that's going to help, but maybe that reminder will help someone.
Right, because if you're like, oh, I haven't done that in a fortnight, well, those eggs are rotten, pal, but hopefully we caught you just in time. I'm not certified by the any kind of Federal Food Commission or anything.
No, me either.
Yeah,
do you guys
not
know,
anymore, it got revoked.
Do you know what the difference between brown and white eggs is? Nutritionally?
Color.
Yeah, thank you. That's the correct answer. Moving on. Next bit of bird trivia.
No.
Let's talk about what I haven't been doing.
Okay,
let me talk about what I haven't been
what
doing.
What haven't you been
I
doing?
I know you're not supposed to be like, I haven't done anything, but let me tell you what I haven't been doing. Mega Man 11 came out. I haven't been doing that.
Whoa! Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Red Dead Redemption 2 came out. I haven't been doing that. What? Frankly, I don't know if I have the time for another open world game right now.
Yeah,
or ever in my life, since every game is a 200-hour open world clusterfuck.
For the first time ever.
Yeah. Castlevania, the new season dropped. I haven't done that either.
Well, oh, don't you worry. Should. That's manageable.
Taking a shit today? I haven't done that yet either, and I can feel it.
Do you have enough fiber in your diet?
I feel it. I was going to drink coffee before this, but then I'd have to leave mid-episode to take a fucking shit.
Well, we
I
know mean, what happens when you drink coffee.
Yeah, I mean, like, you regaled us with a story last episode about the worst, pretty much the worst case scenario for what happens when you decide to start drinking coffee again out of nowhere.
I'm just, yeah, don't drink coffee after, like, months. After eating a giant Scottish breakfast and try to walk up a fucking mountain.
We've already done this.
I'm just saying, don't do it. Okay. If you didn't listen to last episode, don't eat a big meal of coffee and walk up a mountain.
This episode, we're going to attempt to recreate last episode from memory in its entirety.
that's the theme of this episode.
Well, and hey, that's apparently not too bad an idea. Let's mix in some of
our... So guys, I went to Scotland.
obligatory...
Boy, are my arms tired.
Discussion about the community and everything. Brandon, there's a little piece of paper in front of you.
There is.
Go ahead and read that, because you can rate and review our programs on Podchaser, and on Podchaser you can review specific episodes, not just the whole show.
Oh, jeez. You know I don't
read. So we got a specific review from last episode. Since we're discussing it, might as well crack it open.
So people at home can't see this, but since I never really learned to read, everything is converted into Braille. So I can read Braille.
Wow.
But I can't read with my eye holes.
Uh-huh.
So I'm feeling this piece of paper that you've clearly dotted with little Braille holes. So let me read this now. I believe it says, by Mjolnir MK86, for, and this is for episode 317, shit, that's a lot of episodes, The Boy Who Pooped on a Mountain. I think that's about boar? I'm not sure. Let's talk about it.
That would be the boar that pooped on a mountain. I just want to clear that up. If that was the case, we would have titled it appropriately.
So, Mjolnir writes, honestly, one of the most entertaining and hysterical episodes of the series. Pretty sure Brandon might have taken a mighty deuce in a fortified fairy mound. That's a great sentence, taking a deuce in a fortified fairy mound. But that's beside the point. Content is content, and boy, oh boy, is that some quality content. I can definitely agree that Friday the 13th, The Game, is better watched than played. Also, I'm still reeling from the cancellation of Iron Fist and was completely blindsided by Luke Cage's sudden cancellation, as were we all, everyone. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see Disney/Marvel bringing back either of the shows for their app and skipping time to have them start a Heroes for Hire series. Honestly, I would have loved to have seen Cage's story play out from where they left off. Same for Iron Fist. That was one twist of an ending to the series. And that is the conclusion. Now, I fully agree. They left Iron Fist with a massive cliffhanger. They left Luke Cage open-ended to deal with some fucked up shit that's going to cross over with Iron Fist. And then they canceled them both because I'm pretty sure Disney... People say Disney has no say over what gets canceled on Netflix. But I'm pretty sure they do because they're fucking Disney. And they're going to reboot the shows with new casts and stories on their own Disney app. And there's not going to be a Heroes for Hire, from what I've heard down the rumor hole.
But also, you know, in terms of podcasts you may listen to where people are, let's say, plugged in. Brandon, would you say you're plugged in?
Yes.
Do you have your finger on the pulse?
I have my finger up the pulse of someone's nation.
What?
What?
Well, in a counterpoint to the Friday the 13th discussion, Mancharpan, whose Twitter handle hopefully I've said correctly, said, after listening to the Nerdy Show talking about playing Friday the 13th, not only do I want to go back to the game, but I want to give them a full walkthrough because it sounds like they're playing solo wrong.
We are.
Two crying emoji faces, crying and laughing, looks like.
Yeah, hiding in a closet.
Solo?
And then, I guess solo, like, we're not working in a group. Well, we were, because you were hiding in a closet, and I was guarding the closet.
I was doing a really good job of hiding in the closet.
Yeah.
I successfully hid for the entire round.
He was, like, eating a sandwich, and then I was just diving in.
Oh, man,
in
there were
windows.
Sandwiches?
Yeah. So I was just guarding the... I think we did some good co-op. If it was a timer
we're doing a really good job of recreating the last episode.
Look, if we had to beat the timer, we would have won. Anyway. Yeah, so Boar.
What?
Tell us about some things you've done today. Just today.
Just today. Well, I woke up and then I played Overwatch almost immediately.
Why?
You know, why not?
Well, still good.
Yeah, it's still good.
Why didn't you tell me? I would play
I'm
Overwatch.
Trying to perfect my Hanzo game.
Fuck Hanzo.
No, if you're good with Hanzo, you can completely like flip the dynamic of what's going on your
yes
team.
There'll be every character in a map and he shoots one arrow with a dragon and kills everyone, and then the game is suddenly changed.
That doesn't happen anywhere near as often as it used to. Like when the first game first came out, that happened all the time. The dragons were way more powerful. But now you're not. It's not an instant kill unless you stand in it for too long. And, you know, I use it mainly for clearing things off of the, like, the point, or clearing the payload so that it can get, like, the final push or something like that.
I'm just not good at sniping, and he's, like, a sniping character, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're having an Overwatch conversation now, by the way.
I can just tell, so you know. And as usual, I'm like, ugh.
I went back because I love playing as D.Va, because, you know, whatever. And they fucking added, and this could have been a year ago for all I know.
The missiles?
Yeah. Fucking fantastic. Finally, she has another weapon besides those weak
guys. Yeah, I've been
guns.
Learning how to take down characters like D.Va, and Hanzo has storm arrows now, and you can just take down a fully armed D.Va.
What about
with, that.
With my shield special ability?
If you have the shield up, the great thing about storm arrows is that it lasts slightly longer than the shield is capable, so you can just wait till the end and pop it off real fast.
You can do the shield in spurts now, though, instead of just holding it and just one.
Oh, spurts! You have
spurt.
My interest again.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Give your thirst a spurt.
There's our Overwatch review.
Thank you.
It's still bueno, I guess.
Hungry for spurts.
So Castlevania, I never watched. I haven't seen the new season that just dropped. Impressions. Who here has seen it?
I did.
We've seen it in its entirety.
Oh, both of you?
Yes.
All 8 episodes?
Yes.
Who got time for that shit?
It doesn't take that long. It's like, what, why? Like the, three hours and some change?
Yeah, they're
like
all
that?
Half an hour.
They're less than half an hour, I think.
Well, yeah.
So the first Castlevania season was 4 episodes long.
But a great 4 episodes.
It's a Western anime that's very much in a cuts corners anime style. The animation's not awesome, in my opinion, but it does what it needs to, because it takes a bunch of cool Castlevania shit and then has comic book visionary Warren Ellis just have the most fun writing something he legitimately knows nothing about, but is very has a lot of care for. Like, he's not a Castlevania fan. He just, you know, just he was hired to write a Castlevania script, or wanted to, or I don't know, whatever. But he doesn't have a background with the game. He wrote it. The first season was incredible.
Well, someone is obviously giving him notes, because there's shit from the games. And,
sure. Well, yeah. I mean, he's respectful to source material. He does this stuff all the time. Very little of it actually ends up getting.
Yeah, like the overarching
made
story
like this,
for the first and second season is basically Castlevania 3.
Yes. So
and
Dracula's
holy
Vengeance.
Crap! Did they set up the next one?
What they set up Super Castlevania?
No,
where you can hold on the whip.
No,
and
if
the
you
screen
look,
rotates.
If you look in the actual chronological timeline, you can look it up. Maybe
oh,
we can link that. It's,
sure.
it's yeah. I believe it's a N64 game or something like that.
Oh shit! Are you kidding me?
No,
Castlevania 64. Is
no, it's not Castlevania 64.
Oh, I was gonna say,
and maybe it's a PlayStation
it's my
one.
Personal favorite, but everyone
but
hates
it's
it.
Insane. Yeah.
I'll have to look this up, but they set up the next chronological
Symphony of the Night.
No, it's that's way further down the line.
What's PlayStation?
Well, I guess the point is that they could do more if they wanted to. But in terms of this continuation of the series, it's twice as many episodes as before. And it's incredible. I mean, this is the story of Dracula taking vengeance on humanity for...
Well, this is the story all about how Dracula's life got turned upside down.
Right. For humanity killing his wife. And it is... It absolutely, like, hits you in the heart immediately from episode one of... I mean, well, from episode one of the series at large, but also from episode one of season two. And what's fascinating about this is you can tell just Warren Ellis is having fun the whole time. Most of this show is just people talking. When there's action sequences, they're crazy. And the choreography and all the gore and everything happening in season two is the dial is way turned up.
Like a 7-minute segment in one of the first episodes of the first season about just like having sex with goats or something.
Well, that was the thing that was mentioned. Yeah, sure. But I mean, okay. Like
that was a scene like the first episode yeah. in a pub or something.
That's what I remember.
Exchanging insults. And I did look it up real quick. It is Castlevania, The Curse of Darkness is the plot that will be the next one.
If there is a next one.
If there's another season, they set that up so perfectly. If you look up a synopsis for
and
the story of
that
game,
you don't feel that that's really a spoiler because it's
no.
they're just
I mean,
adapting
if you don't want to look into it, don't look up a synopsis for that story. And I'm really saying nothing,
right? and I mean, in this season, the main characters spend most of their time just talking in a library. And it's amazing. It's amazing. They add a bunch of new characters in terms of Dracula's court, and you find out more about his motivations and how that operates. And it's fascinating.
Is death in it?
No.
Is that giant pterodactyl guy in it?
Ridley?
What about, I mean, looks kind of like it. What about Frankenstein?
I mean, you're just naming stuff from games that they haven't even touched yet.
Well, there are two humans who work for Dracula because they hate humanity and want to see it exterminated.
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Sure.
I believe are the humans that work for him.
Yeah, they're humans.
I want to say that I love the season completely, but there's a little bit of a weird plot thing with it.
Sure.
I think that whole, like, Dracula returning in a year thing really kind of pigeonholed, it made the timeline seem way too condensed. Like, too much happened in that 1 year.
Oh, you mean while he was gone when his wife died?
Right.
Interesting. Like, I hadn't thought about
that.
They
jammed so much into what happened during that 1 year. If you think about it...
So this is coming from, not necessarily from what's on the page, but coming from you as a Castlevania historian.
No, watching the show. You can 100% get this from watching the show. I mean, think about all the stuff that happened in that 1 year. He had his Alucard fight. Like, those two were at odds for some reason.
Is this all from season two, like, shit that happened?
No, this is from...
Okay.
Likely happened in season one. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Alucard went away. He formed his whole army and made friends with both of the humans. Like, all this weird stuff happened within the span of a year, and it just doesn't seem like it was enough time.
No, you're right about that. You are definitely right about that. That does,
like,
that does
Alucard had been sleeping and sealed down here for about a year. Maybe.
Instead of like 20 to 40
more like
years.
A few months.
Right. Maybe a few months.
Just
but they
out.
But they the way that they approached it in the first season, it seemed like he had been entombed there in legend for so long.
For like 1,000 years.
It felt like that.
Yeah. But they actually mentioned, oh, I've just been here for a year.
No, they didn't say that, but there's no way it couldn't have been more than a year.
Mm. Yeah. Well, hey, that's true. Otherwise, a
if
wonderful...
you can forget all of that stuff, it's amazing, and I really love Dracula's character. Like, he's so complex and
Team
amazing.
Dracula.
It's a legitimately tear-jerking show. I gotta say, though, you know, like, you guys have been saying Team Dracula a lot, and I, you know, I'll agree. What happened to his...
Team Thanos.
What happened to his wife was legitimately terrible, but his opposing vampire within his court, Camilla, I believe is her name.
Yeah.
She, you know... She is, true to her vampiric race, an awful individual.
Yeah.
And manipulative and shitty, but she has a point. Like, she's not wrong in her agenda against Dracula.
No, I mean, he clearly went off the rails.
Trevor Belmont.
Trevor.
maybe we'll get to Simon someday. You know, he's got his agenda, such as, and Alucard's and Cypher's is... You know, is rock solid.
I really hope we get to the Belmont that was in the Captain N show.
That's Simon.
Yeah. No, I want that version of Simon, though.
Of course,
I want
of
that
course.
Version.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
I'm so pretty.
Just like combing his hair.
Yeah, I don't think Simon happens for like a couple hundred years.
That's how Mega Man talks. Fuck, I forgot about that show. Shit.
Who's old and remembers Captain N? We do.
Oh, Brandon, you remember Icus? All the things about Captain N, Icus?
Oh, fuck. That was a shit show. What a shitty crap. And Mother Brain. I'm Mother Brain!
Oh, well, excuse me, princess.
Oh, my God. What a shit fuck. Who the fuck? You know, it's weird. It's weird. Someone made that show. Nintendo's like, you make this show. And then they didn't use any reference material for any of the characters. It's like they're like, make a guy named Simon Belmont who fights Dracula. And they did.
It's just dumb.
Make Kid Icarus. And he just says fucking stupid shit all the time.
It's just dumb circuit boards you sell to kids. It's garbage. God. So, of course, you make garbage out of it. Why would
Mega
you?
Man says Mega Mega. And sounds like he's been smoking for 50 years as a robot and sucking down the fucking carbon monoxide.
Yeah, he loves it. He'll suck on your tailpipe.
Give me more carbon tubes. Mega Mega. I'm going to shove him in my ass. Fuck. Sorry, that was my impression.
we're giving Brandon too much sugar.
Do you remember Captain N?
No, I try not
you
to.
You remember? He's like, he'll press left. He's got a D-pad for a belt. He's got a fucking NES controller as a belt, and he can like hit pause and like hit left on the D-pad and dash to the left, so he's a god, but yet he never won in any episode.
That's
really.
One of those shows that I watched occasionally when I was a child, and I never felt the need to revisit it.
Then you became a man instantly and was like, I'm done. I'm going to go work on cars.
Sure.
Do science shit.
Can we back up to Castlevania?
Yeah.
It's just a spectacularly written show. I mean, and you can, there's just so many moments in it that don't matter, but are really wonderful character moments. Like when Simon's talking about like the tree he used to plant.
Trevor.
God damn it. When Belmont, there we go.
I
looked it up. Simon is over 200 years after this.
Perfect. Okay, great. We'll be there soon.
Season 3.
Why do I keep doing it? It's fucking Captain N's fault.
Mega.
At least I'm not saying like Whis or something. anyhow, when Trevor Belmont's like talking about the tree he used to play in, it's useless. It doesn't do anything for the story, but it's a beautiful moment, and you can tell that Warren Ellis is just having fun writing this. So if you like Castlevania and you haven't read any Warren Ellis comic books, you should check out Injection or Trees or Transmetropolitan. It's all
so let me get
like
this straight.
This.
They're like, you have 8 episodes to write the story this season, and Warren Ellis, which I have no idea what he sounds like, is like, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes talking about Trevor's childhood story with a tree, and that'll be in one episode.
It's briefer than that.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's way more brief than that.
Well,
let's have 50% talking.
Well, here's how I think they manage this. I think there's maybe a chance that it had not too much more of a budget than it had the first time, but they were able to spread it out and by exploring the characters more. This is an extremely character-driven season.
But things actually happen, though.
Oh, yes.
It's not like Walking Dead, yes, where 99% of each episode is talking and crying, and then something happens at the end, and then the next episode
right,
happens.
Right, because that show is made, like most shows,
to
of
go
its,
on
of its
forever.
Kind. Yeah, you have to fill an order of like 24 episodes, and it's awful.
You gotta throw a zombie, at least one, yeah, in there. Someone
but,
cries.
But done. In this case, it is just a bunch of really amazing character explorations that do have purpose and do further the story, and it's tidy. It could be half the length of what it is if they were just getting down to all the things that were, you know, that happened. But then that makes sure that so you get all this build, and you're captivated the whole time. You don't realize that like you've literally just been watching like two or three people talk to each other for like maybe 15 minutes and they haven't been doing anything. You don't realize that because it's so engrossing. But then when something does happen, it's huge. It's enormous. It's like, and this show has some of the best usage of magic in it in anything I've seen. Like the way they use
magic. More than Harry Potter?
Well, yeah, the way they use magic in it is so fascinating.
Do they have gross tasting jelly beans?
No, I don't think so. Like combative magic, the sort of stuff that you would want to do in your D&D campaign. Look to this show for how you should play your fucking mage.
All right.
Yeah, like she was legitimately doing stuff that you can do in World of Warcraft. Like at times, I was like, wow, she's like a frost mage right now.
Lightning bolt. Fireball.
Frost mage.
Sleep. Sleep. I don't know what a frost mage does.
They throw icicles around.
Icicle. Icicle. That's how you LARP.
3DO.
3DO. I'd be LARPing 3DOs. 24/7.
So another show that recently hit Netflix is The Chilling Tales of Sabrina. The Teenage Witch.
I know nothing about this show, but I'm intrigued. It looks like it might actually be decent.
Well, has anyone here seen any of it?
I've seen the first episode.
Okay, and I've seen bits and pieces. And
I've read the comic books that it's directly based on. Not Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but the actual Chilling Tales of Sabrina comic book.
Well, and Denica has binge-watched most of it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she's finished it, but I've come in every now and then and watched a little bit of it. She has opinions.
Yeah.
Her opinion is it's pretty heavy-handed on the going against the patriarchy thing. And that's coming from a lady, so...
Yeah, well,
it's pretty on the nose in some episodes. Like, oh, you're a woman, and Satan is a guy, and he has a penis, and you don't, and you're a woman. You got to do that. Like, it's pretty heavy handed in some episodes.
Well, I mean, if Denica of all people, you know, thinks that it's too much, I don't know. But I
just sometimes it doesn't ruin
anything.
Here's
the thing. I mean, like when it comes to like looking to a show like Chilling Tales of Sabrina for I don't know any kind of like real political motivation or anything. I mean, for example. In this show, this show's depiction of witchcraft is like exactly what the church thinks it is at its worst.
Yeah, and it's kind, it is a little bit of a commentary about the oppression of women.
Yeah, well, so in this world, because this is very much not the 1990s sitcom with Salem the Puppet Cat, this is an adaptation of a extremely horrific comic book recently from Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who's the same brain of Archie in recent times that is responsible for Riverdale. And this show is very dark and very strange, and very close adaptation, at least from what I've seen so far, as to what was going on in this comic book, which has a lot of Lovecraftian elements, and in it they have a very grisly interpretation of witches and witchcraft, which is that they are Satan worshiping cannibals and every bad thing that any Christians ever said about witches. So
yeah.
In that respect, then that is not a, if you look to say the reality of witchcraft as being generally wise women and so on from history in multiple cultures who
is not Wicca,
who practice things differently from, it could be, but doesn't, like, no, it's witchcraft is a very broad term, but practice things differently from the ways that, say, the very controlling patriarchal church would want them practiced. Mm-hmm. It's easy to use, you know, you demonize witchcraft, you demonize any folk culture as witchcraft, you demonize any medicine person culture as witchcraft, and then you kill it with fire, and it's a very awful, oppressive, and highly...
Are we still talking about Castlevania?
Kind of. These shows are not unrelated in that
well,
respect.
Well, I mean, if we just want to talk about the main theme, which is, you know, the witches and warlocks and all that, they literally, there's no pussyfooting around it. They literally worship the devil.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying here, is that if you look to Sabrina for political commentary...
It's got a few different types, really.
Right, it does. But what I'm saying is, like, the witchcraft in general is an extremely persecuted group of people and is a very feminist-focused, goddess-worshipping, to generalize, it's not a religion, but belief structure. So making of it in this show the ultimate version that the church thinks is bad is a decision that is done for pop cultural purposes and kind of for fun. It's making the most extreme version because it's interesting and spooky and gothic. However, what's interesting about the way they've done it, and this is only from the first episode, is that they have made this witchcraft, Satan-worshipping, cannibalistic culture of theirs is, in the context of the show, an allegory for the Christian church.
Pretty much, yeah. But also, I want to just, for people who have never seen it or haven't seen it yet and don't know still what the fuck we're talking about.
That's very fair, yeah.
Literally, please. The basic plot, very, very basic, it's not a spoiler, Sabrina is a witch.
Is a teenage witch.
Is a teenage witch.
Uh-huh.
And her main purpose, unbeknownst to most people, is that she is trying to find a way to take down the devil. So she's going to witch school, doing all this dark shit, but ultimately her main goal is to fuck with everyone and stop the devil.
Right.
So,
well,
while everyone is worshiping the devil, she's going to find a way to, like, banish him.
She's been a teenager in our world for a long time and has become connected with it in a really profound way. And now it's time for her dark baptism, which is what brings her in. She's a half-blooded witch. Her dad was king warlock of Witch Mountain. And
pretty much, yeah.
And her mom was a muggle. And so she's caught in between. She's the focus of a lot of otherworldly attention for reasons that are yet to be clear, and is now put.
The devil really wants to turn her to his side, and we don't know why yet.
Yeah,
it's
we're now in this push and pull decision where she's torn between two worlds, and well, there's really the dark twisted world of witches and warlocks that she exists in is. It has a very strong pull. To resist it is highly dangerous.
Lots of sexual violence.
Yeah? Really?
At least from some of the episodes I saw.
Yeah. All right, interesting.
But it goes both ways.
It's a very dark show that is not the show you recall.
It's like Riverdale with black magic and devil worshipping. So it's like Riverdale.
Well, good. I'm sold.
They even mentioned Riverdale. They asked, I think in the first episode, they ask a character where you're from. They're like, oh, I'm from Riverdale. I'm like, oh, okay. And
wait,
that was it.
I mean, the town that Sabrina takes place in has been in the show multiple times.
Well, I don't think they're going to... I think they said they're not going to have a crossover, but they just vaguely alluded to it. They were originally supposed to be a crossover. into Riverdale, but I think they said they're not doing that.
Maybe on Sabrina they'll accidentally create a horde of zombies and Archie's gonna have to deal with it.
Well, I'm still waiting for that that crate that was from Miskatonic University in Riverdale and was delivered to the town in Sabrina the Teenage Witch I can never remember the name of the town where it takes a green something.
I've only seen one episode
anyway,
of Riverdale.
So the town where Sabrina takes place in, at one point Archie and Jughead deliver some kind of clandestine crate to that town. And it is labeled as being from Miskatonic University or something. And I was just rubbing my hands together being like, ooh, when's this ball going to drop? I don't know if it will. It might have just been there for eagle-eyed people who wanted to read into it more.
People with eagle eyes?
Yeah, like Eagle Eye Cherry.
Insane.
Clown Posse.
To have eagle eyes.
Oh.
Open up your eagle eyes.
So I'm very enthused to watch the rest of that program. We know we got a Lovecraftian program of our own right now, though. If you haven't noticed yet, the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program is back. It's the RPG audio drama that we originally did in 2015 by listener request, and it's been so popular over the years that we said, well, damn it, we want to do more. We had a great time doing it, and there's an all new series being released every other week. Just search for the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program on any podcast player. And Brandon's not in this one.
I've got a frog in my throat because it's Halloween. Get
Brandon,
it?
Brandon's get out. It? Boar's in.
Yeah, Boar's in the series. Brandon's
Boar,
not.
You got some tiny ass shoes to fill. Hope you can squish into them.
Well, in my case, they were boots.
Yeah, cowboy.
Wait,
boots.
Did you have a Southern accent too?
The entire
you
series.
Filled my shoes with another guy with a Southern accent.
Well, I reckon I did it just a little bit better.
Well, mine was a Georgian Southern. The sure. country of Georgia, not the state.
Well, Boar's character, Kenneth Roger, is originally from Texas and by way of Georgia.
I assume you love chicken.
I'm sure there's some fan fiction to be written about the time that Kenneth and Father Grandfather crossed paths once upon a time in the country of Georgia.
Guess I should listen to this.
So yeah, that's coming out every other week. Let me come up with something to say to seduce you into this season.
I will suck your dick if you watch. Wait,
oh,
what?
Interesting.
I mean, that's how I seduce people.
Oh yeah, is that what you say?
Yes. I will suck your dick if you watch this episode. You lay your floppy donger on the table, and I'll go to Slobknob in town.
Well, that's an offer people
I need
would
some,
have.
I need some alcohol after saying.
We'll have very good reason to refuse.
Anything else you want cut out?
That's staying in. What are you talking about? That's gold. It's comedy gold.
My elevator pitch is that this series is about an auction lot that's filled with strange things, and the character I play, Estelle Thorpe, is in the business of exploring strange things, and so she assembles a extremely mishmashed group of words in my mouth. They go about digging into some dirty dealings potentially
and
digging.
They were done dirt cheap.
They were done. The lot was $10, which was around $100 in 1920s money, if that's any indication.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a really fun show. We had a blast doing it. It's easily the most complicated production we've ever done so far.
Did it take also 18 hours to record it?
It was a while.
Like the original season?
It felt like an eternity.
Well, this one was actually two sessions long.
I'm jealous you guys had two sessions to refresh.
But they were both quite long, and I think it was definitely an over 10-hour collective session for okay, sure. Cool. There's an episode of All Caps where I talked to Colin, and
I thought it was more like 8 per day. It felt like it.
Yeah, it's more. I forget what it was exactly, but Colin and I discussed that a little bit in the last episode of All Caps that we did, which is a thing on this feed. If you're curious, dial back a little bit. But I hope you check it out. Please do rate and review that series if you've listened to it and you like it. I've seen some stats, and it looks like we're getting very close to actually entering into some of the iTunes top 100s, and that would be really, really amazing if we could get the show noticed a little bit more.
And if you're using Podchaser at all, go ahead and give the episodes some reviews.
Yeah, we only have one
very,
so far.
It's very easy to push podcasts up in Podchaser. Yeah. Compared to iTunes, anyway.
I mean, most of all, like, if I say, I think really, like, the biggest thing you could do, like, in general, the iTunes Apple Podcast thing is pretty big, but just sharing it with people, putting it in your feeds, and giving personal testimonials of, like, hey, this is great, you should check it out, especially people who you know who already have, like, who can already work podcasts into their life, because it's kind of a lifestyle choice. That would be awesome. We're putting our hearts and souls into this thing, literally manifesting it, and you know, and all that.
I think each week it's going to be easier and easier to recommend to your friends too, because it starts off a little bit slow, but holy crap, it's going to ramp up and it'll be a lot more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I wish it was coming out weekly, but I'm kind of running behind schedule. There's been a lot going on as the year end has accelerated, so it is every other week. The next episode is coming out November 7th. But I might add, if you're our patrons, even a dollar gets you access to episodes 2 and 3 right now. So yeah, that's quite the jump on everyone else. If you have any interest in supporting us, even a dollar a month does make a huge difference. It all adds up. If everybody gave a dollar, we'd have a lot of dollars, and collectively hundreds of dollars. Who knows? And you can get access to the Cthulhus as soon as they are ready to go. So, end of my rant there. This is a pretty weird little episode we're doing.
Speaking of Cthulhu.
Yeah, what do you got?
Something unrelated. Speaking of Cthulhu, it's something unrelated. So, I just want to talk about a show that's coming back real quick that I love.
Mm, yeah.
So, a long time ago, before the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
A long time ago, in a city made of pizza boxes.
BMCU, as we call it, before Marvel Cinematic Universe, mm-hmm. There was a show called 12 Ounce Mouse.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the greatest cinematic feats mankind has ever done. It was a great achievement and accomplishment. I think if Boar ever watched it, he would agree.
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, that's the new season. So almost more than a decade later, they released a pilot for the second season, which you said was...
Well, it's the third season, technically.
Sorry, third season. But, and okay, it's...
Let's back up. 12 Ounce Mouse was originally a series on Adult Swim, as Brandon said, a very long time ago.
I mean,
ago.
Where it was aired is not important.
Well, it's very
but
much...
But how it was aired.
It's very much flavored with the, with Adult Swim, though a certain, like a robustness, like a fermentation of all of the insanity of old school Adult Swim.
Like a rotten mushroom that you find in your shoe one day when you've left them by the garage door.
Right, and this is most certainly the fever dream hallucination that you get from eating said mushroom.
Yes.
So 12 Ounce Mouse is a very poorly drawn, poorly animated
program.
I mean,
that's an opinion, but okay.
That is absolutely an outstanding practice in writing and storytelling.
It is an existential, metaphysical, abstract, wonderful show.
Other work of art.
Other random words I can't think of.
Those are all apt words.
Thank you.
I only saw, like, I don't know, maybe a third of that episode from the third season pilot or whatever. but what I can say is that at a casual glance, it seems like this show is basically a bunch of random nonsense.
See, that's how it gets you. It seems like a bunch of random nonsense, but it's the most ingenious plot contrivances ever. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I was in college when the show originally came out, and I remember watching it because there wasn't really much Adult Swim programming at the time. I mean, Harvey Birdman was, you know, was there, and that was great. Speaking of, this aired the same night as the Harvey Birdman relaunch. No one was talking about the 12 Ounce Mouse thing. That took us all by surprise. We didn't know about it to talk about it. 12 Ounce Mouse, at first I was really annoyed by it. I was like, I just don't get it. I just don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't understand. And then all the pieces started fitting together. All these 15-minute episodes started coalescing where I was like, oh my God, no, this is a lot more than weird random shit to laugh at when you're high. There is really something else happening here. I don't know what the fuck it is. And they started flashing these weird encrypted messages at the end of the shows. Like, it was, it's once the pieces started coming together, once the groundwork of establishing the characters, like, was laid, then a bigger thing started happening to the extent where you can watch an episode where virtually nothing happens and it's just mind-blowing. And like,
where people are just talking, much like the new Castlevania.
Yeah.
Where people are just in a poorly drawn room, library.
But you know, you have a mouse who shoots guns and drinks beers. You have a shark that flops around a little bit and is passive aggressive. You have a square who's extremely wealthy and drinks Rushianic shit, an olden drink of kings of old.
You have a dancing parachute. I think he's a parachute.
A man who farms corn dogs and has one hand.
A clock.
Yeah.
Which we don't mention.
These are all important things, and we, if you haven't had an opportunity to enjoy 12-Ounce Mouse, I highly encourage going to AdultSwim.com or checking your DVR.
Do they have
if you have
the original show?
Yeah, I mean, I know that on my DVR right now, I could watch the entire original series.
So you can watch the entire original series
in a variety of ways.
In a quick, like, I think it's 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, three.
Done.
Yeah.
That's like less than Return of the King. I mean, that's shorter than any of the Lord of the Rings movies. So you can watch it in one sitting.
They released it on DVD, edited together
as one long episode. So you probably do need to watch it before you watch the new episode, or just watch the pilot and just fuck with yourself.
So what's
a
happened
bit.
Is like as Brandon said, over a decade later, the show is inexplicably coming back. I was absolutely shocked.
Seems like the same people, same voice actors.
Yeah, and they created a half hour long pilot called Invictus. That is that relaunches the series effectively and continues the plot threads from before.
Boy, did their production value at least double.
That was better?
Yeah, oh, yes. God. Oh, yeah. So they went from like $1 an episode to $2. I mean, you can see the difference if you watch the original.
Yeah, it's crisp. Okay.
They like had a weird thing where they zoomed in with the camera.
I don't know if I can endure this level of random nonsense.
It's not random.
It's so rewarding. It all adds up.
You say that, but how many 15-minute episodes am I going to have to watch before something clicks?
3 hours worth.
And am I just going to face
yeah,
palm?
Yeah, just about 3 hours worth. No.
Once those things click?
No, because your palms will be too numb to use them against your own face that you won't be able to feel anymore.
Like, honestly, I legit don't know if there's any chance that you'd like it. It's a very specific thing.
Okay.
But I don't know. You and I have very different tastes, and sometimes they align perfectly, and sometimes they're extremely disparate. That's just how it goes.
You ever watch a Tarantino movie, and you're like, none of this makes sense, and then the last 5 minutes, you're like, oh. Well, it's not like that.
I'm not a huge Tarantino fan,
One of the only things that I could compare 12-Ounce Mouse to is it's extremely Lynchian in nature and how the story evolves and has a dreamlike quality to it. I'd say that's accurate. And what's fascinating about this is 12-Ounce Mouse coming back is something I never could have asked for, I never could have anticipated. It just seemed like a full-blown impossibility.
And I've always wanted it.
But it's not unlike Twin Peaks coming back spontaneously. Like it's very similar. More and more it's like, are we living in a simulation because these weird fucking things keep happening?
You know what? Yeah. Twin Peaks. It's similar to Twin Peaks.
Yeah, and also the scenario, the question, even the existential question of where does our existence lie and how is it possible that something like 12-Ounce Mouse can continue to exist or can like reestablish itself in this way in this day and age? That in itself is like a reverse commentary on the program itself.
I'll just agree with you. Boar, do you like the... Have you ever seen the original Twin Peaks? Do you care
no.
for it? Oh. Well, then I can't really describe it.
I tried to watch Twin Peaks, and I could not get through the first episode.
Well, it is a little similar in that there's a lot of things that seem nonsensical or don't add up or don't make sense and are just weird, but then later on you find out there's kind of a point to it all. So it's similar storytelling, so it is Lynchian in the way that you describe it, yes. is what you're saying.
Anyway, I legitimately know 12-Ounce Mouse is not for everybody, and my recommendation of it might annoy you.
I think it's rated for everybody.
But when hearts come together over something as eclectic and specific as it fills you with joy. Brandon and I feel such joy over 12-Ounce Mouse.
I had so much joy for that like 20-something minute episode, I got a splitting headache watching it. I love the show, but man, it does give me...
I don't feel about what you just said.
It gives me a splitting headache, but it's great. It's absolutely wonderful. My eyes feel like they're bleeding, though, right now.
What?
Anyway.
Okay.
Woo! 12-Ounce Mouse is an intense little drug. But it's a good one. It's a very good one.
I feel
one.
Like I'm coming off of it right now. Shit. I need to take a nap and lots of
so
pills.
So what happened here is Invictus was a pilot for a relaunch of the series, and that relaunch starts in 2020.
Yeah, that was... Boy, what you watched was the pilot, and then that pilot got it greenlit. So what you watched got it greenlit, which was hilarious.
I think I'm going to put this in the same folder as that Hard Nolan Sclopio Peepio.
It's way better than Hargnon's Sclopiopedia.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Brad Neely's Hargnon's Sclopiopedia.
I don't even know what Hargnon's Sclopiopedia.
It's one of those things that Cap recommended like very
provisionally,
heavily.
Provisionally.
And I was like, I was like, okay, if Cap recommends it.
Hey, I love Brad Neely. I love China, Illinois, but, or Illinois. I don't know why
I didn't get too much into that show.
But Hargnon had a great moment every episode and otherwise was just too much. It was not working. And that's why it didn't get picked up for another season. 12 Ounce Mouse has already had one more season than Hargnon Sclopiopipio ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, and Dreamcore LLC came back. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm super excited for that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dreamcore LLC is a live-action show on Adult Swim. It's about a weird little operation running out of some kind of warehouse district where they go inside your head and help cure your problems. And through some kind of immersive therapeutic experiences.
As a person that doesn't actually watch channels on TV,
yeah,
I have to wait until it comes onto Hulu,
uh-huh,
and then either it has to entice me through the Hulu interface, mm-hmm, or somebody has to recommend
it. Okay, well, here's my recommendation for Dreamcore LLC. Officially speaking, I legit think you might really like it.
Okay,
and there's a chance because season two is starting now, that maybe season one is
might be on Hulu.
It's on Hulu, yeah.
Okay.
And it features a lot of fascinating guest stars in this seedy, rotoscoped, disturbing, weird little show, like Liam Neeson and Dave Coulier.
Wow, okay.
So give it a shot.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, everybody, I totally forgot to mention this in the episode, so I wanted to be sure to add this in here because it's super duper important. We will be at North Carolina Comic Con Bull City this November 9th, 10th, and 11th. That's in Durham, North Carolina. It's one of our favorite comic book and pop culture conventions out there. They do two shows a year. You probably remember me talking about or hearing episodes recorded at their Raleigh show, North Carolina Comic Con, Oak City. Well, this is Bull City. It's in Durham. It's even bigger. There's a film festival, and we're taking part in it in a big way. So I will be there along with Doug and Tony making up Team Lightning Dogs. So we'll have a booth. We'll be repping our in-development animated series about a pack of anthropomorphic dogs battling mutants, miscreants, and the evil Glampire. And that's just for starters. On Friday at 2 p.m., I will be a panelist on a horror panel. Myself, horror film writers, horror comics writers, we'll all be together just talking about spooky shit that we love. I'll be there repping the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, as well as the shows I produce for the Consequence Podcast Network, The Losers Club, and Halloweenies. At 3 p.m., also on Friday, I'll be doing a Hawkman panel with recent Hawkman author Rob Venditti. And this is an unusual thing for me. I know Brandon's normally the bird person, but in this case, I haven't ever, ever, ever cared about Hawkman as a character ever, but Rob Venditti's comic has opened my eyes to a world of past and future lives across time and space in the DC universe, and it is a wonderful read. So we're going to be talking about the convoluted history of Hawkman and how Rob Venditti is cleaning it up. Then, beginning at 6 p.m., a huge event. If you were tuned out because you're like, I don't care about comic books, tune the fuck in right now. At 6 p.m., we are kicking off our screening of Willow, the 30th anniversary screening of the George Lucas, Ron Howard, Bob Dolman film, Willow, the 1988 fantasy epic. We're going to be screening it in the gorgeous Carolina Theater. That is an old-timey, operatic-style, gorgeous theater with an incredible sound system. Now, the screening itself is at 7 p.m., but at 6 p.m., leading into that screening, well, the Willow Watch team of State of the Empire is going to be doing an introductory panel that will make sure that your Willow viewing experience is an expanded edition. We're going to tell you about all the behind-the-scenes stories, both for the filming of the movie and also for the characters themselves in the very little-known Willow expanded universe. You know, like, who's Sorsha's dad? What happens when you cast enough Nullans to actually populate a village? What's Bav Morta's backstory? We have an exclusive introduction with screenwriter Bob Dolman and other surprises in store. If you love Willow and you live anywhere near the East Coast or you just want to travel, then you better get your Daikini ass to Durham, North Carolina on Friday, November 9th, because it is happening. Now, on Saturday, we're kicking things off at 11 a.m. with a Lightning Dogs panel. We're going to be talking about our animated series, where it's at right now, debuting some interesting stuff. Hopefully, you can make it out and see what it's all about. Then, at noon, I'm speaking with Ninja Turtle artist and artist of many other things, Ben Bishop. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, like how to break in from being a fan artist to a fan favorite artist of your favorite stuff, his choose-your-own-adventure graphic novel, The Aggregate, and lots of other cool stuff. Then, at 2 p.m., I'm going to be in an animation panel with Tommy Lee Edwards and Jim Mahfood, basically talking about their experience in the animated world, which I'm very excited for. They both have very different and long experiences of, you know, highs and lows, trials and errors within that medium. Saturday night, I'm going to be hosting the big costume dance party gala. And on Sunday, a more relaxed day for sure, 1 p.m., I will be on a queer comics panel with a bunch of other awesome folks from in and around the comic book and comic book journalism community, talking about important issues and our favorite queer comics. Again, that's North Carolina Comic Con, Bull City, in Durham, North Carolina, November 9th, 10th, and 11th. Coming up real soon, crazy soon, scary soon, and we're going to be doing a lot of awesome stuff there. So if you can, please do come out, let us know, find us there, come say hey, and now back to the show. This is a weird episode of Nerdy Show.
Every episode of Nerdy Show is a weird episode of Nerdy Show.
I know. Well, but you know, that's the thing happening right now in our own little continuum where Nerdy Show, the program, is gradually becoming sort of more of a galvanizing place for people who listen to the network overall and then sort of, you know, are familiar with what we do beyond the confines of the show. And we're here to keep the fire because ultimately we're working on so many other things that say doing a more complicated program is not really in the cards just this moment.
I was trying to sell them on the DreamCore LLC by saying Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon had something to do with the show, but I don't think that's true.
That's not true.
but looking it up, I just realized Justin Roiland played Christopher Cross on Yacht Rock.
That's right.
I didn't know. I just rewatched it all like 2 days ago.
All of it?
Yeah.
Oh man, how good's that Jethro Tull episode?
Oh, that's all. I mean, the Jimmy Buffett episode. Get the fuck out of here. Fucking hate Jimmy Buffett. Your parrot head, I don't
care.
Yeah,
he's not smooth. He's just kind of shitty.
He's just kind of mellow and shitty.
Well, since we're talking about TV shows and he brought up Justin Roiland, that sort of reminds me that there's a new series coming out from a writer of Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is important.
This is very important. I'm extremely hyped about this.
You might think this is relevant if you haven't tuned out to this episode.
So they're making a new Star Trek-based animated series called Star Trek Lower Decks.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be animated. It's by, like I mentioned, the writer, one of the writers of Rick and Morty, who's a big Star Trek nerd, really loves Star Trek. And his idea behind this was like, what happens on these ships that isn't just going on the bridge? You know, like, what's going on with the average person?
Because there's a city's worth of people in these ships.
Exactly.
Typically.
There's hundreds of people on these ships. What are the rest of them doing? So this one's going to be, I believe, from what I've gathered, somewhere in the Next Generation era.
Is it
give or take,
or the original? I thought it was the original series.
No.
Okay. No, they used illustrations from the original Star Trek animated series just to sort of prove a point.
They mentioned replicators and stuff like that, so I imagine it's somewhere in the TNG era. It might be after, it might be slightly before, give or take.
Yeah, but somewhere definitely in that sweet spot where the average person will recognize where they are.
Exactly.
Which at this point is more, people recognize TNG far more than even the, you know, the weird 60s era of OG Star Trek.
I only like Discovery.
But about all we know about it is that it's going to follow unimportant crew members on an unimportant ship.
So it's not even like an Enterprise. It's just random.
It's not Enterprise at all.
It's like a shit class ship.
It's the Adequate.
I can't wait to just see random people fixing plasma coils for 30 minutes.
Well, I mean, when Boar brought this up, I was like, oh, so it's Red Dwarf, where they're the chicken soup machine repairmen on a mining vessel.
And the Misfits, yeah.
Yeah.
That Red Dwarf is a fucking great show, so I hope it's anything. You know they're probably getting influences from that show.
Oh, probably not. Honestly, I feel Red Dwarf is like... Hitchhiker's Guide...
It's one of the best comedic sci-fi space shows.
Yeah, really. I mean, like, so you can look to Hitchhiker's Guide as being, because everyone knows it, like the greatest sci-fi comedy, at least from Britain. But for my money, I love Hitchhiker's Guide and I love Douglas Adams, Red Dwarf vastly outshines Hitchhiker's Guide.
What else
has
way more material at this... I mean...
Well, in a way.
I mean, he died, so yeah.
But anyway,
coming back to the Star Trek show.
The Lower Decks.
The thing that I think is going to be really interesting is that we're not going to be seeing the bridge crew. It's probably going to be very unlikely that any of these characters go on away missions. But what we will probably see is day-to-day activities, how they entertain themselves. So there's probably going to be a shitload of holodeck stuff going on, and also shore leave and stuff like that, like. We might get to see aspects of the Star Trek universe that we haven't gotten to see much of before.
Is it canonical?
It's not canonical. There's no way.
What do you mean? Why does it even have to be? It doesn't matter.
Because when you say,
where did that question even come from?
Because when you're saying we're going to see an aspect of Star
comedy
Trek
for my part.
No, when you say we're going to see an aspect of Star Trek we haven't seen before, I'm like, well, not really. It's all made up. It's not in continuity or anything. So that's where the question was coming from. Where you're like, you're going to see
it's completely
aspect.
Irrelevant what you're just saying.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that, you know, they have an established Star Trek universe and they're going to delve into it in a different way than we've ever had them delve into it before.
Yeah. Which I think is fun as hell. Will it seduce me to their proprietary streaming service? Probably not.
Do we not know anything else about it?
And I don't know for sure it's going to be there, but that seems, you know, that seems like where the entirety of the, television world is going, so who the fuck knows?
I don't know if we're gonna see that before or after the new Picard series.
Yeah, and like series, which is something we haven't spoken about on the show here, and we don't, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't know anything more about that other than the fact that allegedly there is a Patrick Stewart starring.
I mean, it's basically confirmed from many sources that it's going to happen. But we don't know very many details regarding it.
I know it's a mistake. I can tell you that.
I know that Michael Dorn doesn't want to make a cameo. He's open to like being on the show if they want to pay for it, but he doesn't want to go through all the makeup and
to just walk through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Dorn.
So who knows if we'll see Ambassador Worf.
Does no one else think this is a bad idea, or just me, to bring back Picard this late in the game as a 90-year-old man trying to? Is he? How could he even be a captain? They wouldn't let him.
I think
are so different in the future, Brandon.
Patrick Stewart is so old at this point,
but he's still fun.
I mean, I guess he was good in that Logan movie.
He was. And he was pretending to be old in that film.
Yeah, they olded him up.
He was great in that Emoji movie.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he played the steaming pile of shit. He played the number two.
Did he really?
Yes.
Did you see the Emoji movie?
No, but
are
I've
you
heard
sure?
all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of weirded out that you even know that.
Well, I watched one of those like reviews, terrible reviews of like movies and shit.
Okay.
But
that's
I
a
just,
way to pass your time.
Every
I don't
time
know,
they
I've...
bring someone back, I feel like it's fan service.
I mean, in a way, it sort of is. And they could have, in my opinion, probably just made a new Star Trek show that had absolutely nothing to do with any characters that we already know about and just pushed it further into the future and then, you know, continued
they
to
could
have
done
a new
what
Star
they
Trek.
Promised to do with Discovery initially, which is continue the.
Well, it's isn't it
continuity.
CBS?
Yeah.
Will it not take place in the same universe, or they're just making another universe?
It's going to take place in the Prime universe in Captain Picard's future.
Didn't they say the same thing about Discovery and then it aired and we're like, no, it isn't? And they admitted
well,
it.
They can skirt around that because it's before the original series and
with
they're
new
just
technology
like,
that doesn't exist, like holograms.
Yeah, I mean,
and warping.
I really
teleporting.
Hope that they don't do anything that Discovery is doing.
Well, Spock is going to be in the next season.
That doesn't excite me even slightly.
I know, me neither. And I'm just saying it's there. That's how I feel about Patrick Stewart coming back, but I really hope I'm proven wrong. I love Patrick Stewart.
You know, what I really hope happens, because I saw some pictures from a recent convention that happened in, there was a big Star Trek convention in Europe somewhere. I forget the name of the convention, but I saw a group shot with some of the cast of DS9, specifically the Ferengis. They had Quark, his brother Rom.
What about the Grand Nagus?
There's no Grand Nagus Zek.
Inconceivable.
But they had them in their full makeup, and Quark looked identical.
What?
Quark looked identical to how he did in the show. Well, I was like, holy crap. So I mean, yeah. I mean, a lot of his facial features are hidden by the prosthetics. But they did such a good job that it led me to believe, oh my God, I want Quark to come back on this new Patrick Stewart show.
Maybe they became fast friends, and he's like his number two.
Okay, you know what?
If you think about it, though, we don't know what this show is going to be. Like,
we have no idea.
We don't know what.
Do you think he's going to be a captain? Because that's kind of weird if he's not like an admiral have to be. Or the Federation
Maybe
commander.
He's retired.
He could be in charge of the Federation.
Brandon, think about this. There's a real possibility that we could see a show just about a person existing in that universe.
If he's retired, then he is just a grape farmer in France, because that's what he does when he retires. He farms grapes.
That wasn't an alternate, like, potential future.
He always talks about his family's vineyard, and like that's how he always wanted to like do when he retired.
Sure, but that was pre-Dominion War.
That was
before the what happened in Nemesis. Like, there was a lot of stuff that happened.
If they bring back Quark, I will fully be down, because in my opinion, Quark is the greatest character in any Star Trek show.
I really did love Quark.
Yeah, I think he's better than Picard, better than Shatner. All of
any episode in Deep Space Nine that was Ferengi focused was among my favorite episodes.
Yep,
they were very, very good.
Well, hey, if you have episodes of this program, probably not this one, but who knows, that you really like, you should celebrate that. You should definitely consider contributing to the Nerdy Show Network on Patreon. That's patreon.com/nerdyshow. As previously established, even a dollar gets you some rad stuff. But there are other tiers, and there are other bonuses. And we do need to welcome some new folks to our cult. Did I say cult? I meant...
quilt. You
quilt.
Meant quilt.
I meant the
fabric of
tapestry.
Friendship.
Of friendship and incredible fans/listeners/human beings who love what we do.
You're not funding a cult. We're building a quilt.
Yeah, we're just
together
just
with your money.
So thank you, Aaron Cornelius, who I hung out with when I was in LA recently and had a great time eating Korean barbecue and singing karaoke with, Matt Strickland and Emma. Welcome to the fold. It's a delight to have you. But that's not all. There was another review on Podchaser that we wanted to share. This is just a review from about this program in general.
All right. Sage Era reviewed the Nerdy Show podcast and said, it is the best in nerdy entertainment for a solid decade. They truly cover anything geeky you could think of.
That's true. Literally anything can happen.
We literally talk about anything geeky that pops out of our heads. Yeah, we think
like
of,
cloud people.
Yeah.
Oh. Like Mallow from Mario RPG?
Now I can't think of anything. Thank you. My mind literally just went blank. I can't think of a single fucking topic. Dice, high C ecto cooler.
You're just naming things.
Headphones.
That's not even your bit.
My brain's not working.
That's what Trench does.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've become Trench.
Yeah, get your own bit.
Oh, fuck.
Bor, you had a premise you wanted to share with us on this episode.
Yeah. I'm not traditionally scared by TV shows or movies or haunted houses. Like, I'm very numb to those concepts for some reason, probably because I'm a little bit dead inside. But I had an idea for a haunted house that it probably wouldn't scare me because I'm already basically immune to this idea, but I think it would be terrifying for some other people.
Uh-huh, go for it.
I call it the haunted house of existential dread.
Go on.
Instead of your regular haunted house where you go in and you have, you know, spooky things and people jump out at you and there's fake murders happening, stuff like that, I want this to be an educational haunted house that scares the piss out of you.
Like what the Christians do.
Kind of, but this is going to be all science-based.
Is that what they call those?
It's going to be science-based, and we're going to be changing your perspective in this haunted house.
Uh-huh.
So you walk in and they're going to start talking about time and how much time you've been on this planet versus how long the planet's been around, and then how long the planet has been around relative to the last time that the universe was formed.
This is a cosmos haunted house.
Kind of.
Are they going to show your spaghettification kind when of. You get sucked into a black hole?
But the entire goal is to make you feel like you are nothing in this haunted house. So the first room talks about time, and then you move on to space.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, you've seen those animations where you're like, oh, you're this big, and then like the biggest building is this big, and the planet is this big, and then compared to the sun, it's this big. So we're going to recreate that, but in sort of a terrifying way.
Okay, well, please go on, because that seems, what you're describing so far seems extremely complicated.
Yeah, sure.
To me, it sounds more like, what if the Carousel of Progress, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is the thing up inside the Epcot ball? Is that right? It's the one that takes you through the history of human communication, right?
I'm not a Disney person, so I don't really remember exactly what's that. That's
I forget. Called.
But I have been in it, and kind of like that. And it could be stretched through multiple rooms, like this, my first concept of the time room could be several rooms,
right,
walking you through this concept. And then the next series would be, you know, showing you how small you are. And then the last, like, to put the cherry on the top, it would be like, spiritually, there might be also nothing there. So I would...
And then the last room is a counselor that sits down one-on-one with you to talk to you about it.
But there,
I mean, you spoiled my ending, but oh, yes.
Neil deGrasse Tyson walks out.
Yeah.
Imagine that you're one drop of water.
Water on Mars. Liquid water.
So that's my idea for the existential dread house.
That's it? Okay, so wait. Let's back up. How are you going to present people walking through this experience, or potentially moving down some kind of motion platform walkway with a sense of ambivalence to the cold, unfeeling universe?
That's why I wanted to bring it to the Brain Trust here at Nerdy Show.
You brought it to the wrong person. So, I was going to be like, who are the scarers? When do I jump out? And do I dress as the Earth and go, ah, and scream? And,
well, I would like to see that version of Boar's idea, like the one that's executed with the same kind of like patchwork nonsense as a homespun haunted house, where you are a paper mache ball that's like the planet, and your face is painted blue and green, and then you've got like black arms with white gloves, and you come out like some kind of like don't hug me, I'm scared creature, just like ooh, booga booga.
Yep, that's exactly what I would say. Booga booga. Yep.
Do you feel small? I'm the planet Earth.
And there'd just be a man in the corner sitting on clouds with a big white beard, and you go, I may or may not exist. Over and over again in your ear. That would be great. That's a good idea. I don't know how you would show the grand scope of the universe in a way that it hasn't already been done in a small house.
You could have like an alien space pod, and like a gray alien comes out and is like, you know, but looking very much like a bunch of assembled parts from
There's going to have to be a Drake equation room.
Okay, well, here's where I was going with this.
I thought that's what you were getting at.
No, he was...
Like, pointing out that there probably are shitloads of aliens out there. Well, he was... That's going to be part of it.
He was going to say that something like to the effect of... Your society has adapted the concept of extraterrestrials to make up for a cold and unfeeling universe into the absence of modern religion. And then go back in his pod. You know? You know, like presenting everybody very, very abruptly and very quickly with the idea that the acceleration of belief in the flying saucer extraterrestrials from the 1950s, especially through the high water mark in the 1990s, was specifically because of a lack of modern mythology and the dissociative properties of people's experiences with people aren't having religious experiences per se in the 20th century.
I suppose there would have to be a climate change room showing how within our lifetimes we might be destroying the Earth.
Anyway, it shifts back and forth between like negative 20 degrees and then like 112, and it just keeps going back and forth every 10 minutes.
I mean, here's the thing. When you all I knew about this going into it is you're like an existential dread haunted house, and I'm like, okay.
I can't pay my bills, but does bills really matter in the world? And like, that's existential. Like, does it really matter that I don't take my life? I don't know.
That's going to have to be part part of the time thing.
At the end is, should you or should
on
you
a long enough
yourself?
Timeline, nothing matters. Like, that's going to be something that we have to point out.
And then there's just a table full of knives.
Absolutely nothing will be remembered on a long enough time frame.
Yeah, but I was about to argue why that's not relevant, but it is.
It is.
You're trying to evoke existential dread.
Yeah.
So all you would really have to have me do legitimately is plot me in front of a bunch of TVs expressing the global state of affairs, and I will be destroyed. And even no matter how much I recognize that my personal self-worth and my personal journey as just a living creature that's really only truly fully aware of its own existence is just to do my best, even then I would not be able to overcome how much bullshit you've just bombarded me with, because the world we live in is such a nasty place right now.
You know what's weird is everything you've described already exists in the media. So
oh, sure, yeah. Just turn on the fucking television. You're in the haunted house.
Turn on
this. The whole planet's the haunted house.
I was going to say, the twist at the end is the haunted house is actually the one place that isn't the whole world is really the haunted house.
After you go through this experience, hopefully it wakes something up in you, and it continues to be the entire planet is the haunted house.
The haunted house is also within you.
I thought you were going to say, and it galvanizes your resolve, and you decide to move on past that.
No, that's why you enter the room.
No, but if it really freaks somebody out, I mean, we're going to have waivers signed at the beginning, and maybe counseling available,
and not do Brandon's proposed knife table.
Well, I was going to say knife and opioid table, whichever way you want to take it. But, let's
be humane about it. That sounds like a regular haunted house.
The thing is, you guys are overestimating people's attention spans and acuity. I think when you show them something like the cold vastness of space and the absolute nothingness of the world, you also at the same time kick them in the testicles really hard. Just for stimulation.
Brandon, as with your prior mention of...
Just like a boot on a stick.
When you
want
to convince somebody of something, you suck their dick, and also how to... Your social interactions seem to revolve on specifically dealing with male individuals, which I think is interesting.
You can kick a girl in the genitalia.
You can, but you said the testicles specifically.
Now, have inside testicles.
Going back to the point...
They've got inside boys.
I think you were trying to make is that this... concept would only affect people within a certain intelligence window,
or people that are already kind of suspecting these things.
You probably wouldn't get anything out of it if you were really, really dumb, and if you're really, really intelligent, it's also probably not going to phase you because you've
already been there.
You've already gone through that
way.
So I think you're right in that there's an audience for this, and it's somewhere in the middle
of America.
America.
Middle America.
Yeah.
That's where we should have it.
The middle of America?
Literally. The middle. Kansas.
It's right in the middle.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to Nerdy Show. That was episode... I'm assuming that was episode 319.
Brandon's
correct.
Just running the show this time.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, honestly, I've run out of high C, and my fucking throat is dry as a throat with no high C in it. So, I mean, what else do I have? Like, you can hear my voice. It's crackling.
It's hoarse.
It's horse.
Take you to the track.
Nay.
I want everybody to know that when we were talking about who to have on as a fourth host, we had a great show last time.
We don't need a fucking fourth host.
We had a great show last time without a fourth host, so I wasn't really a huge priority. But Boar jokingly said James, and I'm like, James Baxter. I'm like,
James.
Well,
James Baxter.
I said, Boar, did you know? James Baxter's a real person, and it's he's an extremely well-known animator, character animator for Disney and DreamWorks, who in fact boarded both of those Adventure Times episodes. So I attempted to reach out to his representation.
Legit tried to get James Baxter on this episode.
The phone number on IMDb Pro didn't work, and so I sent him a Tumblr message. And if you know James Baxter, let him
James!
Know.
James!
We'd love to just do an episode with James Baxter for
James Baxter!
For fun.
In character, I'm assuming.
Oh, was the horse?
Yeah, that was all. Yeah, that's it.
That's going to be complicated.
We could do that.
So,
if there's an episode that I'm not in and James Baxter is in,
wait, I would love that.
James!
Oh,
James Baxter!
I understand the implication now.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we were going to be able to have a conversation with him, which is kind of to the effect of, so when you decided to make the move from being Disney's top shelf character animator to DreamWorks, what really motivated that for you? And you just go,
James Baxter!
So the limitations of this interview is that you cannot speak in any words other than your name, a la the horse.
James! James Maxwell.
I'm sure that would be a wonderful episode.
I'm sure it would be. Anyway,
we could have gotten a fourth host. I mean, it's close to Halloween. We could have gotten a ghost. We could have summoned a host using a Ouija board.
You know, we actually used to do that on Derpy Show.
Ugh. Always reminded.
We would always,
my
we would
ideas
always
are always
have,
reminded that they already did it on
around
Derpy
Halloween.
Show.
The Headless Horseman would join us.
Did you use a Waluigi board though? That's a Waluigi board.
I don't know, but I think you know. By the time this episode comes out, Halloween. Well, it will be. It will be Halloween. Happy Halloween, motherfuckers. So I guess maybe next year. Hey, somebody send us a message. Set yourself a reminder on your phone next year. A couple weeks before Halloween, remind Nerdy Show to do the episode with the Waluigi board.
I'll set my Alexa in 364 days to give me a reminder to do it.
Yeah, why not?
She only says it once, so I hope I'm in the room when it goes off. So.
Yep. Please do that.
Yep, I'll do that. I wonder if it can do that.
Brandon, do you want to take us out?
Yeah. How do I do that?
You already kind of did it before and we stopped you, so just finish what you started.
Thank you for listening to Nerdy Show. I forgot the name of the show. I was like, Nerd Show? Nerdy Show. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Nerdy Show. My name is Brandon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.